It's a Thursday, it's crunch time, it's the final segment, which means, well, it's this.
You'll have to excuse my friend. He's a little slow.
Luckily, I have prepared for such an event. The lightning round!
Ah, it's the Thursday lightning round. Hey, where's Nick? He's nowhere to be found. Ah, my blood pressure's gotta go down. So let's get to the lightning round. Ah!
It has been a long time since I've done this one, but let's go ahead and get started. Steve, the Washington Capitals did it, and by did it, I mean they didn't choke in epic fashion and miss out on another Stanley Cup Finals, beating the Lightning yesterday and have advanced to face Vegas in their second ever championship series. Got a great goal right out of the gate by Ovi, who was finally over the hump after 12 seasons of having great regular seasons only to fall short in the playoffs. He's so confident and pleased, in fact, he went as far as to touch the Prince of Wales trophy. Ooh, it's considered a bad move if you're superstitious, unless you're Sidney Crosby, who didn't win on to win the Stanley Cup anyways. Ovi ain't afraid of no ghosts, but should he be afraid of Vegas, the expansion team of destiny? What percent chance do you give the Caps of winning their first ever Stanley Cup?
Oh, I think it's a toss-up, 50-50 series. I'm rooting for them, which of course hurts, but I give them 50-50, flip a coin this series.
I like that. And what can be considered a wow moment from the NBA releasing their All-NBA teams today, Damian Lillard named to the first team as a guard ahead of Steph Curry, Russell Westbrook, DeMar DeRozan, and Victor Oladipo, who were named to the teams below him. Dame Dalla, a massive season for Portland, pretty much single-handedly put them in the playoffs as a 3 seed, so him being on an All-NBA team makes all the sense in the world, but the first team... Fill in the blank, Steve. Damian Lillard making an All-NBA first team is blank.
Big for Portland fans, because for a lot of years and into the future, they got nothing else to root for, because this team is stuck in 47-49 win hell. But first team, All-NBA?
Yeah.
That's a feather in the cap. That's big.
Guess he can't talk about being disrespected anymore. Steve, baseballs are flying farther, apparently.
Baseball
according to
dirt.
A bunch of brainiacs who formed a panel to study it, baseballs have been getting extra lift since 2015, and they say it's not from the way hitters are swinging. They also say they can't pinpoint a reason why. They say the primary change is drag against the ball, but they can't figure out why it's happening in an 84-page report they released today. They say there's no meaningful change in the bounce of the balls, that the alteration of swings wasn't significant enough either. A whole bunch of physics talk that went way over my head, but this could be something baseball needs to figure out if it's something they're doing right or wrong. So, Steve, baseball significantly getting extra lift is a big deal, little deal, or no deal?
The baseball getting extra
baseball
lift.
Baseball itself.
Wow. If it's different and they're saying it's not, it's a big deal. Because the game's just ridiculous. It's like every at-bat is either a strikeout or a homer. So if they've messed with the baseballs, and we know we can't trust baseball when it comes to peds, bats, and ash bats, and
performance-enhancing baseballs.
Rabbits in the baseball. So that's a pretty big deal.
All right, so the NFL created a new rule for how to deal with and punish players who want to protest the national anthem before games. Teams will be fined if a player protests on the field. Players now have the option to not participate and stay in the locker room if they want to. It was a unanimous vote from owners, apparently. Jed York and Mark Davis say they abstained and suggested not selling concessions because most fans don't even stand for the anthem because they're buying beers. And Jets chairman Christopher Johnson said he'll pay any of his players' fines if they get them. So three options here. A, this rule again shows that the NFL misses the point entirely. Sure, they can install rules for their employees, but the way they're doing it is disingenuous at best. B, this is a bottom line move, plain and simple. The NFL fears losing fans, therefore losing money, so they need to get a hold of this as soon as possible. They're doing it wrong, but it's very necessary for them and an understandable move. C, forced patriotism is fascism. Our country is based around the freedom of speech and the freedom to protest peacefully. The NFL removing the option for their players to speak for those who don't have a voice is unethical and should be illegal.
God, I hate you. I like all those answers. I am jaded and cynical when it comes to billionaires, be it in the NFL or ownership or entertainment or politics. They care about one thing and one thing only: money, bottom line, living their lifestyle, gated communities, making more off interest in a month than most of us will make in a decade. So I'm going the cynical route and picking B.
Will Brinson of CBS Sports finally did it. Finally called out everyone for overhyping the 49ers. I've talked about this a few times, but a lot of experts are all aboard the 49ers hype train to the point where they're picking them to win 10 games this year. challenge the Rams for the NFC West, and make a run in the playoffs. All of it based on how they finished last year, which is winning five games, including the Rams, Jags, and Titans. They have the greatest quarterback ever, obviously, and a few solid pieces. But 10 wins? 49ers hype train right now is blank.
Typical offseason NFL. Where it's based on stuff you could say now that you're not going to be held accountable for in November.
The Warriors in a bit of trouble right now, Steve. You said they would sweep the Rockets out of the West, but the series now tied at two games apiece. Dubs having serious injury questions, both Andre Iguodala and now Klay Thompson listed as questionable for their game tonight. Steve Kerr, asked about both of those guys today, said that Klay is likely to play but will be hobbled. Iguodala will be a game-time decision. Of course, they're used to dealing with injuries this year with a lot of guys, including Steph, but this is the playoffs, and the Rockets have looked really good in their wins. Steve, the Warriors' injury issues right now are a big deal, little deal, or no deal?
It's a monster deal. The season's on the line here, and they've picked the most inopportune time to get injured. So big, big, big.
Last one here. Justin Verlander has been shoving, Steve. No way around it. He has now made 11 starts this season, an ERA of 1.08. Struck out 93 hitters in those 11 starts as well. He is on pace for a historical season. According to Sportsline's projection model, Verlander on pace to finish this season with a 1.95 ERA, which would make him the first AL player to do that since Pedro back in 2000. First pitcher over 35 to do it since Spud Chandler in 1943. Wow. Before that, it is Eddie Chicote.
Eddie Seacott of the Chi Sox, the Black Sox.
1919. Before that, a bunch of seasons, Cy Young did it. He has an award named after him. You might have heard of him. He was pretty good. So, Steve, what percent chance do you give Verlander of actually finishing this season with a sub-2 ERA?
1%. Nobody in this league right now is finishing sub-1. He hasn't even hit the puppy days.
No, sub-2.
Sub-2. I'm with you.
Sub-1 would be impressive.
Then you'd get back to guys who, you know, got to hit batters as they ran around the bases. But sub-2 in this league, in this era, when we're still in May and he's still right around there, no sale. I'm giving him 1%, and that's it.